bless you all this morning, saints. Welcome you into the house of the Lord. Just a closer walk with thee. Is that your prayer this morning? Not just in church, but every day of the week, right? We just want to walk with him. And what else can we do? But we walk with the Lord. And he's the only one who's going to see us through, isn't he? We can turn to the left and to the right, and we might get some help from some friends, but who's going to see us all the way through? That'll be our Lord Jesus. Brother Taz, would you mind coming and opening the prayer this morning? Let's just bow our heads as he comes. Welcome our Lord here. And to our hearts, each individual heart this morning, we can just welcome in and hear. Thank you, Brother Taz.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the awesome privilege and honor that we have to assemble, as it were, as your children in your awesome, mighty, loving, graceful presence. That we are able to come to our Abba Father, the one who is the creator of all, the one who holds the whole of creation together by the word of his power, the one who is in absolute and total control, O God, with everything and anything that happens throughout your creation, including your creatures and including your very own people, the elect, the chosen ones, those whom you have given to Christ and stationed in Christ, those who have been called, who have been given to Christ, who have been saved by the blood of Christ, justified before you, O God, just as if we have never sinned. Those of us whom you have now stationed in Christ at your right hand up in heaven, that place of highest honor, that is the God that we come to worship. That is the God that we come to praise. Father, we bow our hearts, we bow our total lives before you. We commit them to you, trusting in your absolute sovereignty over our lives through the good, the bad, and the ugly. You are in total control. So, Father, we lift you up this morning. We lift you up, Jesus, as we thank you so much, Lord, for you laying your life down a ransom to save us from our sins. You were buried, Lord. You rose again triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And you are seated up in heaven as Lord of lords and King of kings over all. And the day will come, Jesus, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord of lords and King of kings to the glory of God the Father. And so we come and bow our lives and our hearts before you, Lord Jesus, thanking you for being with us and in us. Lord, your promise, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come back to you and be with you and in you by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit who is with your people, in his absolute fullness. You are awesome, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Shall we just stand and sing this morning? Burdens now are lighter.
Burdens now are lighter, brighter is my way. I'm
Take what he said, my brother Albert was speaking. Praise the Lord, I know I'm free because he said so. Not because I think, it's what he said. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 292, That Man of Calvary. Or that one.
Fairest of all the earth beside, chiefest of all unto thy bride. In thee I see wonderful Man of Calvary, that Man of Calvary has won my heart from me, and died to set me free. Blessed Man of Calvary, granting the sinner life and me, granting the
Do we have any items this morning other than, I know Missy's got one. Is there any others this morning? Just so I can make room. And also I'll just make this an announcement. There will be communion service this afternoon as well, so just keep that in mind. Let's sing number 303, He Walked in Galilee.
He walked in Galilee. He prayed with you and me. Yes, He came. Thank you.
come to live in your heart and in mine. Let's sing number 258, As I Journey Through the Land. And then I'll ask if Missy would bring her item.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson glow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my
on the streets of glory.
Praise the Lord. It'll be a wonderful day, won't it, when we finally arrive home where we belong in the presence of our Lord. Thank you, Missy, for your item this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Yes. This song was written years ago, say 20-something years ago. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you. It's actually thanking God and looking towards God. Coming to you think it's your last days. Oh God, God has way more better plans than we think. So this was written for suicide. And there's been a lot of suicide. I've been involved in a lot of suicide preventions. They're all the same programs, but with God, change that program, look toward Him. So this, yeah.
Listen, people, listen to my song. I feel so lonely, not knowing what went wrong. Listen. Troubles that go by, there's no one to lean on, there's no one to share, to comfort. Understands the reason why.
Thank you, Missy. It's like the gift. Our Lord Jesus is a gift, but you must receive him. There's many people hurting, but you need to receive the Lord. But our prayer as Christians is that the Lord would use us as instruments in his hand, that we might be available to share his love to the world. He died for the sins of the whole world, didn't he? Is there any specific prayer requests at the moment that we'll just bring before the Lord, spoken or unspoken? I'm not going to bring all the ones off the internet. There's quite a list there, and some of them are quite personal as well, so I thought that might be just better for the prayer service on Tuesday night. Yeah, sorry, Bill. We'll just remember the family.
He's a real servant of the Lord.
Amen.
And I just pray that through his death, you know, God will bring many people to the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. See any others at this time? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, through your precious blood. Lord, bringing our needs, Lord, our cares, our burdens, Lord, before you this morning. Lord, who else cares like you, Lord Jesus? Lord, we can care in a sympathetic way, Lord, just to help, but Lord, you have all the answers, Lord Jesus, and you're able to, Lord, move upon the lives of the people that we bring before you, Lord Jesus. Lord, may your perfect will be done, Lord, in their lives, Lord Jesus, and ours as well, Lord. Lord, we just bring the families, Lord, of these three young men, Lord, who have taken their own lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, we can't understand the circumstances that surround them, Lord Jesus, but you know all things, Lord, and you are able, Lord, to bring something, Lord, good from these, Lord Jesus, and may you just be a comfort to the family at this time, Lord Jesus, and Lord, may they turn their eyes upon Jesus, Lord, and what else can we say, Lord, but than that we need your help, Lord. There's many, many people who need your help, Lord Jesus, but we must receive you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for Willie Narimu's family, Lord Jesus, at this time. Lord, would you comfort them, Lord Jesus, Lord, a servant of yours, Lord. And as Bill requested, Lord, may many lives be brought, Lord, into the kingdom, Lord, for the cause of Christ, Lord. And Lord, we just commit them into your hands at this time, Lord. And any unspoken prayer requests, Lord, not forgetting the ones that were on the internet as well, we commit them into your hands at this time, Lord. And we just look to you once again, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's just sing a few more, and then I'll ask Brother Howard to bring the word this morning. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. And just as a, there will be communion service this afternoon as well, just for those who weren't here earlier.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, but Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, but Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, and Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, and Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, and Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory, singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus
lifted me. Let's sing number 74. Sometimes I feel like I'm going in.
Sometimes I feel like I'm going in. I'm going on. Sometimes I feel like I'm going on. I'm going on. Sometimes I feel like it's
feel like going up? Because we will go all the way up, don't we? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Brother and Sister Hughes, Bill and Jen, were going up because they were going like this. The little action song. That was good. You sang it here one time, a couple of times. Very good. So that's nice, Brother Bill. He loves the Lord. Oh, you've got to push it all the way. God bless you. So it's really good to have you all here, and we just pray that the Lord will bless us by His Holy Spirit. what makes the meeting, I'll tell you right now, it's not the preacher, no, not the good singing, and all those things are good. It's the presence of God. We want the Holy Ghost to be here and to minister to us and to speak to us. And we welcome you all, and we welcome all the brothers and sisters who will be joining with us in this service. Last week we had, probably more, I haven't checked right now, but 187 visitors came to the service. That's a lot more than that's here. That's just people looking in. I don't know how many in the group. There may have been 10, there may have been 1, there may have been 50. But we welcome you all in the name of the Lord, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want Him to speak to us. We want Him to do a mighty work in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Brother Curry's just walked in, or drove in. God bless Sister Wainui. It's great to have you all here and your family. Praise the Lord. So we just pray the Lord will speak to us and give us a blessing in Him to be ready for the coming of the Lord. God bless you, Brother Harold. I got your email. Excellent. Praise God. He's got a burden to reach out. We appreciate that ministry. And for the coast, and you'd like us to pray for the team that's getting out, outreaching. You know, brother and sister, this is very important, that the gospel be preached to the lost. And we appreciate you, Brother Harold, and everyone else, of course, that is in the ministry to get reach out to others. So God bless you, brother, and may He anoint you. Let's just pray for the team. They're going to go up at the coast to Tokomaru and wherever else the Lord will lead them. So, Lord Jesus, we come to Thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord and our wonderful Holy Spirit. We love You, Lord. We just pray that You'd bless Brother Harold and his wife and the team, Lord, that are reaching out to these other places around New Gisborne and up the coast, Lord. We pray, Lord, that there be a great anointing and that hungry hearts will come to find You. Lord, we just pray for an unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon our brother, Lord, and his wife and all the team that are going out to reach out. We really appreciate their effort for the kingdom of God. They shall receive their reward one day. So, Lord, we just pray that You'll bless us. And the thing is, Lord, we've had a commission from You to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And, Lord, that's what we're doing, is just doing what You've asked us to do. May You bless our brother and sister and all the brothers and sisters with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who believes God's going to answer the prayer? Amen. Yes, amen. So, We're actually going to have some more visitors coming here. I just want to make this an announcement so you can prepare to be here. Please don't miss it, because I think they're making an effort to come and spending money to get here. Quite a bit of money. Motels and stuff. But Brother Albert Ruig and his wife and a busload of brethren are coming from Tauranga. We haven't actually fixed a date, but it's roughly the second week of November, sometime around there, Brother Lee. So you keep that in mind. And we're going to have three services, one Saturday night, Brother Bill. If you guys can make it, it'd be really great because we have some of these. They're going to have a sing-song worship time on Saturday night. Of course, a little bit of word, whatever. And on Sunday, we're going to have a Sunday morning service and afternoon service after the luncheon for that weekend. Also, Brother Morris Tefatu, who was to come here from Niue Island, is still in New Zealand. And the reason he had an upset with his leg, that, what do they call it? Cellulitis on his leg, which is very painful. But fortunately, it's coming under control. But they've decided to stay in New Zealand for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And they'll be coming down to Gisborne with their brother James and his family from Niue. And quite a few of the saints up in Auckland will also be coming down. So that'll be another series of meetings. It's going to be a busy time. I might be able to preach for a few weeks. It'll be quite wonderful, actually. I don't say that. Irreverently, I'm happy to preach whenever he wants me to preach, but you brothers who preach know what it's all about. It takes it out of you, especially when you're over 70. But I just thank the Lord that these brothers and sisters are coming, and I'm sure they'll bring an inspiration and blessing to us. So, you know, we had a good number. Heard Brother Albert preach last week, 187 views. 187. We normally strike about 70, maybe 70 to 80, but they had 187 views, and I just praise the Lord for that. And God bless you all out there around the world. We don't see you, but God sees you, and He cares for you, and He loves you. So it's really nice to have you here. Praise the Lord. Who's glad to be here?
Amen.
Amen. Who's here for the first time? Raise your hands. One. Any others, the first time you've been here? Two, three, and all the shy ones. Praise God. So if we just remember those notices and be prepared if you've got some songs and ministry. We're not here, this is not a show. We don't come, this is not a concert. It's not a concert. It's a time of worship. And we're singing unto the Lord. We don't come up here to be seen. We come up here to give glory to God and to be a testimony for Him. And stay in your calling, whatever God's called. If He hasn't called you to sing, don't sing. That's serious. You never see me singing up here. You know why? I can't sing. But I might play the piano. I'll play a few tunes. But brothers and sisters, stay in your calling. Do what God's called you to do. He's called you to preach, preach. And then God will bless it. So we just pray that the Lord will bless even this afternoon for the communion service. This is a great opportunity to feel the presence of God come into your life around the communion table. I can't overemphasize it. Jesus said, do as often as you will in remembrance of me. So remember that, brothers. So just make a little effort to come to the communion service after the luncheon. It's not a long service. It'll be all through in about an hour. So I just really encourage you to come. Praise the Lord. You going to do it?
Amen.
Oh, I could have been a few more amens there. And I'm sure we'll be blessed together. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Isaiah 54, verse 6. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment, this is the Lord speaking, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. Oh, but with great mercies I will gather thee. Amen. For in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. What a beautiful reading that is. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. You know, we know that God's a God of judgment. We know He's a God of judgment. He's going to judge this world severely. But I love His mercy. I want to receive His mercy. As the sister was singing, His mercy has come to us. And may God bless it. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to You and we thank You for Thy wonderful word, Lord. Lord, Thy words are spirit and they are life to our souls. We pray that the word of God will sink deep into every heart here. I thank You for Your presence here, Lord. I know You're here. And I thank You in the name of Jesus. You said where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of you. And Lord, we pray You'll be in the midst of the saints overseas that are listening to this service, Lord, right now, that You'd fill them too, and they will know that God is alive and that He's coming soon. And Lord, that we want to be ready for His coming. Lord, bless each one. Bless everyone here. Lord, we just commit this word to Thee. And may You rest Your unction and anointing upon it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, brother and sister. I was very challenged by this word. Very challenged. It's good when God challenges you from the word. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. This is God speaking. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. And this may appear to be a strange title subject for a sermon. But you know, brothers and sisters, it's really wonderful what God has in store for us. Without a doubt, it is very true. And it's found all through the scriptures, this concept. So it's not just pulling out a scripture here out of Isaiah. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. You know, sometimes we are very low and despondent to God's calling. We're slow to respond to Him. We just get that way. We get out of sorts with God and we don't feel His presence. You know, brother and sister, when you don't feel the presence of God, that bothers a child of God. It really bothers them. You agree, Diane? I saw your head got that. Who believes it's a problem when God's not near you? It's a major problem when He's not there. I can't live without Him. I've got to have His presence with me. I've got to have His anointing. We don't just come to church to fill a wooden seat. We come to hear from God. We want to feel the presence of God moving in our hearts. And when we go out that door, He's still with us. That's the sort of experience we want. We don't want anything that's, you know, just momentarily, just a little happy little time. I want Him to go with me during the week. I want Him to go with me when I speak to other people about Christ, because there's people out there that desperately need God. Our sister's talking about suicide, even in Gisborne, it's really bad. But if they find the Lord Jesus, that's all they need. Jesus is all I need. So may God help us this morning to understand these things. So I just pray that we'll enter into what God wants us to know. But you know, when we ask, we don't feel the presence of God, and it's, I want to say this right now. It's not God's fault. Get that clear. When you don't feel the presence of God, it's not his fault. There's something hindering that. So because he loves you, he does something about it. If whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And one of the things he does, there's many, many things God does to correct us. But one of the things he does, he withdraws his presence from you. And that is serious. He said, for a moment, I have forsaken thee. And the reason God does that is because he loves us. He purposely allows that to happen for a season. God withdraws for a season. Brothers and sisters, don't let go in this ear and out this ear. We're just reading from the scriptures. I have forsaken thee for a season. And people say, how long is that season? As long as God thinks it's needed for you. And God deals with people differently. He'll deal differently with me as he does with Brother Taz or Brother Harold or Harold. He deals with us differently for our particular need. Isn't that wonderful? He fine-tunes the test in your life. And the season is as long as God knows it takes to spiritually wake us up. Oh, I want God to just wake me up. Who wants to be woken up? You know, if the Holy Ghost comes in this meeting, he'll wake you up big time. You won't need me or Brother Lee or Brother Tim or anybody or any other person. You just need God to come on the scene. So hiding his presence from us, hiding his presence from us is actually an act of divine love. It's an amazing thing. It's, oh, God loves everyone. And he does. And God, he's always with you. He's not. And the reason he's not is because he wants to help you. So we get the concept of what's been said. As much as we do not like it, when God withdraws his presence, it helps us to find him. Who believes this? Amen. The reason he withdraws his presence is to make you start looking for him. Do you know it's possible to grieve the Lord? The God of creation, the God of the universe. Do you know it's actually possible to grieve him? Wow. I don't want to grieve him. May God not cause us not to grieve him. Do you know it's possible for you to arouse the anger of the Lord against you? Everyone listening? You can arouse the anger of God against you. We've just read it. We're going to read it again. You'll see what I'm saying. People think, oh, God comes along and he's this big, sweet grandpa father. And he just makes everyone happy and fixes up everything. Listen, God's got some rules. He's got some principles. And he loves you. And he wants you to love him. Amen. So this is the message. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. Just for a small moment. It says in verse 8 of what we read, in a little wrath. God speaking, in a little wrath, when he's a little bit angry, I hid my face from you. He was upset with you. God can be upset with you because you're disobeying his word. God doesn't like his children to disobey him, no more than he liked Adam and Eve disobeying him in the garden. It grieved God and changed the whole course of life. So, brother and sister, we need to stay with the word of God. What a dreadful and frightful thing to think about that you could make God angry. His anger is kindled. You know, his anger was kindled against Israel many times, but he never destroyed them. He punished them. He caused things to go wrong for them, but he put his loving arms around them and brought them back home. Yes, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, we're all familiar with it. 29 it is, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Watch what you say. Don't talk nonsense out of your mouth. Don't swear. You should not be swearing. Christians, don't swear. But that which is good to the use of edifying. God wants to use your mouth to be a mouthpiece of hope and strength to others. He says, but that which is good and use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So you can grieve the Spirit of God. The Word of God is telling us that God has to take drastic measures sometimes. Not because He's against us, but because He is for us and He loves us. If you love your children, you'll correct them. The Bible says so. Don't correct children, it proves you don't love them. Who believes that?
Amen.
You know, that secular governments preach against it. Corporal punishment. Well, the Bible speaks up for it. It says, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, I'm not against beating kids. I'm not talking about that. But you should correct them. That's why we've got a rebellious generation. The Bible speaks about the children ruling. They're going to rule because they have no respect. Later on in life, there comes big problems because they have no respect for God, no respect for their elders. Oh, God, be merciful to this generation, Brother Taz. We've seen a tremendous change, a shift. I tell you, when I went in with my parents to people's homes, Brother Bill, they'd say, be seen and not heard. We didn't speak out of turn. We say, yes, sir, no, sir. Not today. They ridicule teachers. They mock them. Is that right, Brother Bill? Maybe not in your church, not in your school. But a lot of schools are so cheeky to adults. I didn't mean to say all that, but I've said it. You love them, you'll correct them. To God, He has to take drastic action. Love is corrective, especially when it comes to God's love. The Word of God confirms this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. You may become weary when He starts to bring correction, but He loves you. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. Even as the Father, the Son, whom He delighteth. Hallelujah. Notice the common denominator in all these verses. My son. You see the relationship, my son, my daughter. I love you and I need to correct you. I need to help you so you don't go to hell. When Jesus came and died at Calvary, He meant business. He gave His whole life that you can have eternal life. So you need to receive what He's done for you. Amen. It's already been said by Brother Tim. You must receive a gift. He is the gift of the world. You know, when Jesus came as a little babe, and the angels came down to the shepherds and told them of His coming, they said, we have good news, good news. The Savior has been born. A Savior has been born and the world is ignoring Him. But His children will receive Him. He died for my sins. Did He die for yours? He died for your healing. By His stripes you were healed. That's thus saith the Lord. God cannot lie. He is truth. We need to really revise these things in our heart. Do we believe that our sins are forgiven? You say, I've done a lot of terrible things, Brother Howard. You just don't know how bad I've been. If you confess your sins unto Him, confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah! Isn't that wonderful news? We don't have to go around feeling condemned. All of us have sinned. We've all come into the world shaped in iniquity, speaking lies. That the Savior of the world came and died for you, and you need to, as Brother Tim said, as a gift of God, you need to receive what he's done for you. So we see, my son and my daughter, he loves us and he puts us through some of these trials. And when you go through some of these trials, listen carefully. When you go through some of these trials, it's a good sign that you're a child of God, Brother Bill. We've got to learn to exercise our faith and trust him. Who trusts the Lord? And the next trial that comes knocking on your door, say, Lord, you are my keeper. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So God has methods of correction, and they always work. It's good, isn't it? He gives you correction, always works. God has his methods. And the Lord uses that which is appropriate for each person, as we said before. The method of being forsaken of the Heavenly Father is one of them. Listen carefully. It's a terrible, almost unbearable experience for a child of God when God departs from you. David in the Bible said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh God, be merciful to me. Do not depart from me. I want you here. And if you're a child of God, you'll never be happy without the Spirit of God in your life. You can go to church, but that's not what I'm talking about. You need the Spirit of God to be in your life. The Holy Ghost moving in you, as Brother Taz prayed this morning. We need that baptism of the Holy Ghost to be a part of our life. It's a terrible thing when he departs. I remember seeing something played out in town one time. And it's really amazing because this father and his little daughter were shopping. And any moment she'd say, oh, look, Dad, look at this. She looked into a toy shop. She might have seen a doll. She might have seen something she wanted. And she older, she started running down. Oh, look at this shop. And she went running ahead. My father said, sweetie, come here. I don't want you to just run ahead like that. You'll get lost. Okay, Daddy. But she didn't stop. She kept running. Running here, running into that shop. Where is she gone now? Has anyone had kids like that? I had lots of them. They just loved to run ahead, go into the shops. Then he told her, don't do it. And she did not. She continued doing what she wanted to do. Now think about our Heavenly Father and us. So when he saw this girl was just so excited about this and about that, she went running into the shop and into that place, and he started to get tired of it. God gets tired of you running. God gets tired of you running. You know what this father did? I saw him, he slipped into a doorway, one of the shops, and he hid himself. And he viewed from a distance. This little girl carried on running into the shop and dresses and all that. He just waited. She kept on running. She turned around, Dad, look at Dad. Dad! Dad, where are you, Dad? You've seen little children scream that in town. Where's Mommy? Where's Dad? I want them. She lost interest in what she was doing. She wanted her daddy back. And she cried out to Dad, Dad, Dad! He remained in the corner, in the alley, in the cubbyhole of the shop until he couldn't take any more. He came up and he touched her on the shoulder. Dad! He picked her up. He hugged her. He said, I want you to stay with me. Yes, Dad. She was healed right there. She put her down again. She never ran again. I've been like, you know, I don't know about you kids, but it's your kids. You were kids. We're all kids. When I was a young person, I remember very vividly in Woolworths, I lost my mother. Oh, I tell you, I felt so lost. I was just a little kid. I was like 4 or 5. And, you know, when you lose your parents in a big city and there's big people around, you just want mum or dad. So I learned my lesson. That's what God does to us. He hides in the doorway. While we continue on to do what we want to do, he withdraws his presence from you. It's what God said he would do. For a small moment, I have forsaken thee, he said. Praise be to God. You know, when the little girl realized her dad wasn't there, she lost interest in what she wanted to do. And when you know God has left you, his presence is not there, you lose that enthusiasm. I want to do this, I want to do that, I'm going here, I'm going to do that, I want this entertainment. You find it just loses its value because he's not with you. God does that. God does that. He withdraws. And people say, oh, God's not with me. I don't feel God's presence anymore. But have you been following him? Or have you been running from him? Doing what you want to do. What he really wants is your love and your devotion to him. And so we see that's what happened. It's a very good example, the little girl, the father. I just praise God for these things. God hasn't left you. He's watching from a distance at your life. He's in the shop doorway, as it were, watching your movements. You say, I love you, Lord, and your life says otherwise. You're doing other things that he's not pleased about. And you know it too. Because you feel that loneliness. Where is he? Where is the Lord? Father, Father. Adam and Eve. Our fathers in the beginning. Parents in the beginning. They went on and they wanted to do what they wanted to do. They were told not to do what they did. But they carried on. They disobeyed him. You know what they did? They went hiding. They ran and hid because they knew they were naked. And the Lord came in the cool of the evening and said, Adam, where art thou? Oh, I tell you. When the Holy Spirit's calling for you, be ready to answer him quickly. Lord, the Lord knew where they were, but he came through in the cool of the evening and he said, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? My children, where are you? What have you done? Why aren't we fellowshipping together like we used to in the cool of the evening? Where are you? I want fellowship with you. And they were hiding this time, the other way around, because they were guilty of their condition. And you come and become guilty of your condition when you're doing the things God has told you not to do. You continue to sin. You wonder why he leaves you. Because he's a holy God. And he doesn't want any nonsense. He wants reality. If you love him, keep his commandments, Jesus said. He said, this is a test. If you love me, keep my commandments. That means doesn't mean read them. It doesn't mean preach about them. It means do them. So we see there's so many examples. We were so intent to do what we want to do. Reminds me of the prodigal son. You know the story of the prodigal son? Born with a lovely father, lovely home. They had everything they needed. They were very well off. And he knew that he would fall in an inheritance when his father died. But you know what? You know, rebellious children sometimes, old ones and young ones, they become impatient. And he said to his father, "Father, give me my inheritance now. I want it now. Father, please, give me my inheritance now." Father said, "Okay, I'll give you the inheritance." And we know how the story went on. Jesus said he went running. He thought everything, all his Christmases had come at once. Because he had a lot of money. And he could do what he wanted to do. He had a lot of friends and people coming around. "Oh, would you come to our place and we'll have a party at our place?" He went there and he lived up and he went with harlots as well. The Bible says it was riotous living. But you know what? It always comes a day when everything runs out. That's the good time. He ran out of money. He looked into his purse and he only had one penny left. There's a great famine struck the land. God's got a way of doing things. The famine struck the land and he started looking for a job. Of course, he could not get one. He's getting hungrier. The Bible says he went out to the farm, out into a farmer who had some pigs. He said, "You got a job?" "No." He said, "Well," he said, "the only job I've got is I've got some swine," he said, "and pigs. You can look after them for me and feed them." He said, "I'll be happy with that." Starving. He didn't even start eating the pigs' food. I tell you, brother and sister, when you do the wrong thing, you get right down, you start eating pigs' food. You start eating the husks and all that. Because he's starving. But a wonderful thing happened when he came to the situation where he no longer had his father with him, who could have helped him. He came to the situation, we had nothing, and the most wonderful thing happened. He came to himself. You've got to come to yourself, brother and sister, and realize what's happening. Don't start relying on mum and dad. You do your own searching. "Lord, there's something wrong. I'm not what I should be. I don't feel peace. I don't feel assurance. I'm living a reckless life. I'm going here and there and everywhere. I'm running from this store to that store." The Bible says he came to himself and he started to think. He said, "This is crazy. Here am I starving. No one gave him anything to eat. The pigs even grumbled when he took a cob from them." You know what? He started to think, "My father's at my father's house. Even the servants have everything they ever want." He said, "I can't go back home. I can't go back to my father. He wouldn't receive a little rebel like me." But you know what the father was doing? He was in this shop store, a doorway, watching every move that boy was taking. And he would have gone out every day, because the Bible speaks about it. He would have gone every day, longing and yearning for his son and his daughter. He looked out. "Is he coming yet? I wonder if he'll come. I wonder if he'll come home." Well, something was happening at the other end. The prodigal son was in that pig pen And he started to come to himself and he said, I'm not getting the Holy Ghost. I'm not being filled with the Spirit. I'm not having the joy. I'm just a drifter. God, I want to come home to you, Father. Lord, I want to be in your presence. I'm going home. Said the farmer, I'm leaving. Thank you. And he went home. Long way, all the way back to his father. Father, Father! Where are you? Brothers and sisters, don't you get a hunger in your heart for Father? He wants you, but you've got to be willing to come to him. When he got there, his father saw him coming. He said, quickly, bring a robe, bring a ring, put it on his finger, kill a fatted calf. My son's home, and he hugged him like the man hugged the little girl in the town. You see, they love their children. God loves his children. He put his arms around him. He said, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'll be happy to be a servant, just like the other servants. I'll be a servant for you. He said, you're my son, and you've come home to your father. And I'm going to receive you. Because I love you, and you are my son. Wow, what a reunion. Great tears of joy. And all the neighbors came, and they're all happy. They celebrated with great joy because the son that was lost has now come home. And brother and sister, there may be some prodigals here and overseas and listening. You've been running a long time. That the Father's searching for thee. And he's hungering for you to come home quickly. For he's coming back to take us home. And you've got to be ready. Yes. In a little wrath, the Bible says, I hid my face from thee for a moment. You know, Jesus suffered the same thing. Can you believe this? Think about this. Jesus suffered the same thing. Probably one of the worst things Jesus suffered at Calvary. I'm absolutely sure the shame of the Roman whip. The shame he suffered and the Roman whip and the crown of thorns and the nails in his hands and his feet were terrible. Almost unbearable, especially as Jesus was very sapped of strength, lost a lot of blood. And was very weak and tired. They didn't even feed him. I've been to the place in Herod's judgment hall. I've been there. I walked up those same steps that Jesus walked up. It wasn't easy for him. But then came his worst nightmare. Of all the things he suffered, this became his worst nightmare. And it's this. The Father forsook him. He was overcome with grief and despair. We read this in Matthew 27:46. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's like that little girl, she's saying, Father, Father, where are you? Do you know God forsook Jesus hanging on the cross? He was left dying a sinner's death for you and for me. What had Jesus done that the Father would have forsaken him? He hadn't done anything wrong. This was his worst nightmare, is that the Father left him hanging alone. Disciples took off. He lost 70 disciples and his 12 took off. It was 11 at that time. Took off and left him. And now the Father left him. and said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? This is a serious thing. This bothered Jesus more than anything because he used to enjoy the communion and fellowship with his Father every day. It meant everything to him. Should mean that to you too. Every day you should know his fellowship. God forsook Jesus because in God's eyes, this is why God forsook Jesus. Very amazing. God forsook Jesus because in his eyes, sin was hanging all over him. His filthiness was all over Jesus. You talk about the nails and the thorns and all those things and the bleeding. But he saw on Jesus filth and uncleanness, and it belonged to you and me. And it was laid on him, the sin of us all. God couldn't stand it. God could not stay there because he's a holy God. A holy God and sin cannot come together. That's why we've got to get rid of sin before we get our glory. You won't get in unless sin's dealt with. And the only way you can deal with sin is for Jesus to believe in Jesus Christ, that his blood has cleansed you and made you clean. Yes, brother and sister, because of your sin and my sin, he was hanging there. The Bible clearly states in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, that's Christ, hath made him to be sin for us. Christ was made sin for you. Your filth and uncleanness was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? That we may be made the righteousness of God in him. What a swap. He gave us his, he took our filthy garment and he gave us the robe of his righteousness. I want to read from Isaiah 53. You talk about inspiration. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Here's that chastisement. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. There it is. He took the chastisement of our peace. It was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This morning you are healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, say, Lord, I receive this. There's a big difference here which needs to be pointed out. We sometimes feel God has forsaken us or hid his face from us, like that little girl. But really, he's in the shop doorway watching us. And in Jesus' case, God had left him all alone because, let me say it like this, of your sin. God left him, deserted him. And Jesus was shaking with weakness. The blood was running from him, from his head and from his side and from his feet. The lovely Lord Jesus had never done anything wrong. Wickedness of our sin was all over him. God had to leave. Jesus was the virgin-born, sinless Son of God. So what can we do if the trials have come and we feel forsaken? Just remember, God is watching you. And he wants to bring you back to himself. You know, this is how you know God loves you, and this is how you know he wants to redeem you, as he went to a great trouble to die for you. will never understand what he went through. Never. Because you don't even understand his glory and his majesty. That he left from heaven's glory, left the throne room of God, came down and hang on a sinner's cross. Hallelujah. And bled and died for you. That you may be made clean and holy. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we should be living for him every day, every hour of the day. We should put away those things that are disturbing him. He gets so sad when we just march on doing all what we want to do, continue sinning. We continue doing the thing we know we should not do. We just keep doing it. That really hurts him. More than the nails in his hands. God was watching. He left him all alone because of our sin. Sin had to be paid for. You see, brothers and sisters, God is a righteous God. God cannot brush your sins under the carpet. He's got to pay for them. And he paid in full for your sins and for my sins. Don't you love him? Say amen. He will never leave us nor forsake us forever. When we've done those things, he'll never leave you forever. If you're his child, he's going to help you. He does want us to fully repent of our sins. For those things we've not surrendered to him. When God showed you something, you need to do it. It's better to obey than sacrifice. People say, I go to church every Sunday. That's nice. That's a sacrifice. But you need to obey what God's told you to do. What is it, Brother Howard? I don't know. He speaks to you about that. He speaks to me about my sins or the things that I need to correct. We are genuinely sincere about surrendering to him. He will not forsake us, but he will receive us back to himself again. You know what the lovely Lord Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father hath given to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to God today, he will not cast you out. If you're sincere and honest with God, he'll never cast you out because he loves you. He meant business when he went to Calvary. It wasn't a joke. It was the most gruesome death, and he lost his fellowship with God for a season. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Yes, he may have to hide himself from you for a season. Things get tough. Why is this happening, Lord? Why is this not turning out? Why is this person against me? But remember, he loves you with an everlasting love. Who wants God's presence to come back into your life? Just keep your hands, I'll count. How many want God to come back into your life in full power? I want all of his life to come into me. God bless you all. We need to quickly repent like they did on the day of Pentecost. Oh, this is quite something. Peter got up there and preached. Why, what a sermon. I would have loved to hear the full version. In Acts 2:36 he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, just filled with the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God was on him. That God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. Wow, what an accusation they brought to the people. Peter said, God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. You talk about conviction. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent. That's what's trouble today. There's no repentance. We've got to get down to repentance. True repentance. And Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who wants the Holy Ghost? Amen. Well, you need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name, and he promised to do it. For the promise, here it is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call in 2020. Let's say praise the, praise the Lord. Remember, if you mean business with God, he'll mean business with you. In this very late hour that we're living in, we each need to seriously check up. I've got to check up. I got out of my bed about 3 o'clock in the morning last night. I got on my knees and I did some checking up. You've got to check up. We've all got to check up. We can't go off past experiences. Oh, God's used me. That's nice. But what's God speaking to you about? Are you willing to do it? I am willing, Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. If you draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Bring that up, Nancy's, James 4. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That's a promise. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-mindedness is an abomination to God. You say one thing in church and do another thing during the week. Double-mindedness. God doesn't like it. So it explains why we feel God is not near to us sometimes. He withdraws his presence because he's displeased. We can bring the anger of God against us. It's a merciful thing that he doesn't destroy us. But he's in the shop doorway. He's watching you. He's waiting for your response, even this morning. May God help us all. Remember what he said in our first reading. Listen carefully. With great mercies will I gather you. Isn't that wonderful? Who loves the Lord? He's a merciful God. He's a serious God and he's a just God, but he's also merciful to honest hearts. With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Now it's up to you. I've finished. What you do with it is with you and God. Judgment Day will tell what you did, because everything will come out. Everything will come out. You know what I'm looking for? I just want to be under the blood of Jesus Christ. I just want to be under his mercy, because we fail every day. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, A-double-L, unrighteousness. Shall we stand to our feet? Every head bowed, every heart bowed. There's no use bowing your head if your heart's not bowed too. But if your heart is bowed and you're being honest with God, you really are. You're saying, Lord, I don't want any tommy rot. I don't want any foolishness. But Lord, you're speaking to me this morning. I felt your presence. I know that you're here. I pray, Lord, that you'll go deep into my soul. Search me out, Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me, as David said. May the Holy Spirit come down and search every heart here and those out around the world who are listening in. May they take inventory with thee. May they check up and see if there be things that are not right, Lord. Time to leave the pig pen. It's time to get out and go back to your Father. Lord, I just pray you put that desire in our hearts Oh, so wonderful. Lord, to come into the presence of Almighty God. We want to come into the Shekinah presence, lovely Lord Jesus. We are here, we acknowledge it, Lord, that we want to come closer to you. Lord, burn out of us all the world and all the things of the flesh that are displeasing to you. Lord, take it from us. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. We know, Lord, sometimes you're withdrawn for a season, but we know it's because you love us and you want us to get back to God. I pray that you'll bless every brother and sister here. Lord, I just thank you for your presence. I pray, Lord, it won't be wasted, but hearts will know that you're speaking to them, Lord. I give them to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Let's sing this beautiful hymn. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Hallelujah! Yonder on Calvary Mount outpoured, there were the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, hallelujah! God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Yes, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Let me say, brother and sister, you may have done some pretty bad things. Pretty sinful things that you don't even like. But His grace is greater than all your sin. Greater than your sin. Isn't that wonderful? The cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than any sin, any devil that would try to come against you. I know God is here. And if you really want to say, Lord, I want to just come all the way with you, why don't you just come and say, Lord, I surrender all to thee. Hallelujah. Let's sing this next verse. Sin and despair, like the sea, waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Praise that is great. Points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Great, great God, great that will pardon and cleanse within. Hallelujah! Come for prayer for your soul, for your body. Feel free to come down to the altar. God is here, His Spirit is here, His anointing's here to touch you and to bless you. If you mean business with God, He'll mean business with you. Marvelous.
You know, when the preaching was coming, it just made me remember that the Lord went through a terrible pain, agony, shame, and all of the terrible things that you can experience or may never experience. He had it worse because He loved me and you. Let's sing number 339. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He's here to talk to you. If you feel that pull in your heart, do something about it. Do something about it. It may be, just maybe, your last chance. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His holy name. The scripture says that you cannot come unto the Lord unless He calls you. But we need to respond if you feel that call. We must do that. Must respond. You know what? There's no other chance for eternal life. No other. This is it. Let's sing this again and then I'll close in prayer. He is here. Bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are very grateful for what you did for us. We can't understand what you went through. We do understand the moments, Lord, but we don't know the pain. We don't know the anguish. We don't know the shame. You gave your all, Lord Jesus. Your all for each one of us. And Lord, you would have done it for even one of your children. If it was one and only, you would have done it. But Lord, you actually died for the whole world. Whoever will respond and say, yes, Lord, I feel that call. I know it was for me, and I am going to do something about it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what we've heard. We know it's the truth. Not because some person told us, some church mentioned it, but we feel that in our heart, that movement there, that we must respond to. That's you, the still small voice of our Lord Jesus. And the scripture says that everyone that the Father hath given me will come. Let us not turn that offer down. We thank you, Lord, for the food and fellowship we're about to have. Thank you, Lord, for the afternoon meeting that we're going to have with communion to remember what you went through. As we do that, we know that we'll be blessed. Bless the people that listened in on the internet, wherever they are, many thousands of miles away. And wherever they are, the Lord loves them too. And they can be a part of it. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be dismissed. No talking in the auditorium, please. Keep it real reverent. Thank you. Lord bless you.